B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Just proving that, you know, I'm here. I belong in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night.
Yeah, he does.
Play hard, trying to get wins, yeah. And, you know, just go out and trying to win a championship.
In being the best player in the world. It's like you listen to the political stuff these days, and it's just like being your president. It's like saying you're going to be the president,
yeah.
But he's saying, like, almost speaking as currently in its current state, I am the best player in the world.
Yes, as a man thinketh, so is he.
There you go.
You got to think somewhere. Think it into existence.
It has to start somewhere.
What was the guy's line from the Batman movie that he loved so much?
I gotta look at it.
Liam Neeson.
Oh yeah,
that if you think you're a legend, you become, or whatever it was.
Yeah, they can't stop
like
you.
That.
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. Thank you. Yeah. Like Ra's al Ghul said, I'm best player.
It made Shaq's mom cry.
I cried.
You both cried.
Coming up later in this hour, 9 o'clock, by the way. 9 o'clock hour is upon us, and it is brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. For a greater look for both local and national, a Temple Owl, a Philadelphian, our good friend Kevin Nagandi joins us from ESPN right now. Kevin, good morning, brother.
Mark, Trey, Bob, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kev.
I told you I'm not going to bury the lead this time. I made a mistake on Twitter. You appropriately corrected me. The Temple Owls win in double OT over UConn last night. How about that?
Mark, you're trying to make up for a big miss.
You're damn right I am. I am. Damn right I am.
Especially when you're an owl, especially considering how ugly that game was and how they needed a W after the Villanova game. But we made amends, and you know, it was a great observation by you that, you know, overtime wins by the Sixers, Flyers, and Temple. And honestly, like, all three of those games are games that are, you grind them out, and you need to grind them out in the middle of the season or towards the back end of the season. And the thing that stood out to me for the Sixers, I made a comment about this on Twitter last night, that last night's Sixers win, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime, when you're watching Alec Burks and you're watching Milton making plays and they're on the floor as they, you know, were trying to figure out the whole Al Horford role and spacing, and Ben's not playing, and Tobias is doing everything he can. Get on the backs of your superstars, like the Eagles did with Carson Wentz and a bunch of guys that we didn't expect at the beginning of the season. That's what the Sixers did late in that game. Get on the back of Joel Embiid, let him carry you, and then you're going to get some help from guys that I don't think anybody a month ago was going to assume that Alec Burks is going to play a huge role in a game that I felt like they needed to win heading into Milwaukee.
Let me ask this, because you have such a unique perspective, Kevin, because you're a local guy. You're still very much tied in here. Your passion is still here in Philadelphia, but you work, obviously, on the national scene. So I ask you this question as a kind of a double agent here. Who is Joel Embiid, and probably more importantly, what is Joel Embiid?
Man, I don't know. You know, as a guy that considers Joel as my favorite current Philly athlete, my favorite, you know, currently, and the guy that I know day in and day out, at least in previous years, that he was going to give us 100% when he was on the floor, something that I related to Allen Iverson. I don't know. I think there's an immaturity that we need to still figure out. He wants to be the man. He has to understand that being the man means being the man every single night, not being the man when he wants to be the man, you know, and that's a different role. And I think there's the one thing that when you look at Philadelphia and the way this team plays so well at home is because I think the fans hold everybody, not just Joel, hold everybody playing accountable. And I've already heard, you know, oh, the boos last night. You know what? We boo because we care. And I'm going to say that till I die. And we will hold you accountable if you're not holding up your end of the bargain. And that's the difference between being a superhero in Philadelphia and a star. If you are a talented player who gives it every single night. We will ride or die for you every single day, no matter what it is. But if you show that you don't want to give it 100% every night, we're going to start to see the cracks. And Joel needs to hold himself accountable. And, you know, that goes to also this coaching staff holding everybody accountable on the road. Because on the road, the only people that are accountable are the 15 players in the coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the crowd. And when you're at home, if you slip up, you will be held accountable and in check. And they needed to be held accountable with that terrible second quarter. And there was no excuse for it. Mm-hmm. And they can't afford to do this on the road. This is how I explain this whole team. They're immature at certain times, and they think things are coming easy to them. And you can't do that day in and day out if you want to be considered the best team, at least in the East.
Speaking with Kevin Negandhi of ESPN and Temple University's own Kevin Negandhi. Kevin, so I'm going to ask you the same question then, but not about Joel Embiid, about Ben Simmons. What is Ben Simmons?
You know, one thing I get from Ben Simmons, the guy that wants to continue to grow every single night. He wants to get better. He's already a defensive superstar. And I know one thing about Ben is if you look at his track record, he's going to try to play as much as he can. And when he plays, he's going to give it his all every single time. Now, there is a certain thing about Ben where each person's different. He doesn't show the emotion or feed off the emotion the way Joel does. And I think that's why everybody in Philly loves Joel the way they did through the early years, is because Joel bleeds with every single play. And Philly loves that, right? Ben's not like that. Ben is an introvert when it comes to showing his emotions on the court. And I think Philly wants a little bit more of that. But the one thing we get from Ben is, we're getting a guy who's continuing to grow. And I look at his ceiling, the kid is going to get so much better offensively. And I think that, listen, the threes are a little bit ridiculous, but it's okay. He's trying to get better. You see progress. And Giannis didn't come into the league where he could get a jumper. You look at a guy like Jason Kidd. He's the perfect example for me when you say, who's a superstar, who became a superstar, who found his way in the league. Jason Kidd, everybody joked that you got to call him Ace because he had no J coming into the league. And then by the end of his career, he had a consistent jumper. And I think Ben can develop into something like that over time. But we forget how young he is. We forget, like, when he was drafted, what we wanted, what were the expectations. And when we compare, you know, it's really unfair, but this is what we do. When we compare to picks in the top three, like a Jason Tatum and where they're at and where Andrew Wiggins is at, if you compare some of those guys in the top three the last few years, I would take Ben. And Tatum's a superstar, but I'd still take Ben because I know Ben's going to get better, and he does things on the defensive end that Tatum does not do. And I think the future is really bright with Ben. We just got to be patient with the kid. And again, there are growing pains, and I get frustrated a lot. And you know what you're going to see in the playoffs is teams are going to go after the Sixers' weakness, and that is forcing Ben to shoot the ball. That's on the coaching staff, where you have 82 games for him to find a way to shoot the ball from the outside. Mm-hmm. And I put that on the coaching staff as well.
Absolutely.
Kevin, has it surprised you at all with Al Horford coming over from Boston, what he was there, a defensive stopper, how much he frustrated Joel Embiid when he covered him on the defensive end, and the cerebral player that he is, that he struggled so much this year? And if so, if it surprised you, why do you think it is?
Well, because you're talking about a guy that's in the league for over,
11 years, I think, yeah.
Years, that has always been a starter. Right. Okay, he's always been a starter. He's always knows his role. And then he comes here and you know, again, I put this on the coaching staff and understanding spacing. It shouldn't be 50 games before they figure out, hey, let's try him off the bench. Like, the first part of the season is, hey, let's just try to figure out our personnel. Let's not forget that I think Elton made the move for two reasons. Number one, hey, it's insurance if Joel is not 100% healthy. Right?
Yeah.
And number two, we need depth and we need height when it comes to potentially facing the Bucks in the playoffs. And I think that when you can't figure out spacing, that falls right on the coaching staff on trying to figure that out. That falls on, hey, listen, we are going to continue to work with us. And I think it just came to a point of frustration. And now I don't understand the dynamic that fans have with Horford. Like, because I think, you know, the booing yesterday with Horford every time he touches the ball, I'm trying to understand. I know, like, you know, a couple weeks ago when he made those comments, you know, the timing, you're like, what are you doing, Al? Like, you don't need to tell anybody there's issues in the locker room right now and then just leave it at that. That's a hand grenade.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to let go of that because we're going to need Al when it comes to matchups in the playoffs. Because especially when you see the half, and Bob, you know this, it's all, everything's going to get, the court's going to get shrunk in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you're going to need a guy that's going to be able to shoot some shots on the outside. It is not Al's fault that he was brought in here and things were not figured out when it comes to roles and what we're going to do. But there was a reason why he was brought in here. As insurance, just in case if Joel's not 100% come playoff time. Mm-hmm. And we saw that last year. So I think that I don't understand why this dynamic has changed a little bit, but we as a city kind of get stuck on one thing and then we get obsessed with it. And I think we need to let go of this Al Horford thing right now.
Like, I think, and speaking with Kevin DeGondi of ESPN, the thing that gets to me is like he took $109 million to be here. I talked to him a couple of months back. And he was shocked that Philadelphia offered him this much money. He did not think for a second he was going to end up in Philly. And then they said, hey, how about $109 million? And he's like, well, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. That's kind of how it played out. At least that's the impression he gave me. But this is only going to work if we get behind it. And look, he is struggling right now. He's been demoted to a bench player, which I know is not how it's presented to him when it comes to Brett Brown. But more or less, every player knows what it is. I think if more people get on him as fans, and I include myself with this, then that's not going to help anybody in the success of this team.
You're right. Listen, he didn't come to Philadelphia. I mean, if someone's going to give you $109 million and you're not expecting it, no one's going to blame you for taking it. I don't think he was expecting that, hey, they hadn't figured out my role here and trying to understand what I'm trying to do. And then I think also there were times where he was trying a little too hard. But let's look at that window of those nine games when Joel was out. And Al fit in, I thought Al fit in quite well with what this team was trying to do as they were running the floor, right?
Mm.
And again, there's a reason why you're Brett Brown and you're the head coach of this team. You need to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out now, then you're not going to figure it out.
That's
the thing to me.
Okay.
Don't waste 60 games in a whole season.
All right. I just got a couple more quick ones for you. I know I appreciate you giving us some more time today. Flyers, I was going to ask you whether or not they're a playoff team, but they're a playoff team, man. And especially after last night, the way they were able to fight back in that win, this team's going to the playoffs.
They are, and it's exciting, and honestly, I think the fan base deserves it. Again, consistency between the pipes has always been the story. My viewpoint has always been one thing, just get in. Because we have seen through the years, if you get in and you're a hot team, no one wants to face you. And I don't think the Flyers are a team that I don't think anybody wants to face. Because if they get in the playoffs, they're going to be really hungry. I'm excited about it because, honestly, it's been a while since we feel like, okay, listen, this is a team that I think the city identifies with. They're hungry. And look at how the Sixers were 2 years ago, right? And the city lost its mind because they were a bunch of guys that were hungry. They didn't come in every night expecting anything. And I don't think this Flyers team comes into every game every night saying, oh, we're expecting to win. No, we're going to grind you. And that's a good thing. And I actually think that works in their favor heading into the playoffs.
Kevin, who goes deeper in the playoffs, Flyers or the Sixers?
Oh, man.
I asked the tough questions, Kevin.
And Bob, what a nightmare scenario here on when you look at the Sixers when it comes to drama. I mean, I think nationally people are like, oh, my God, this is so tasty. If the Sixers potentially face the Celtics in the first round, or they face the Raptors, I mean, the Heat in the first round, yeah. Jimmy Butler. But you know what? If they want to win a championship, I think that they're going to win that first round regardless, because I think they can beat the Celtics. I think they can beat the Heat. It's going to come down to two guys, and it's always been the story. Those two guys got to figure it out together on the court, and that head coach has got to figure out all the other parts work and the right substitutions, which I think have been driving some people crazy. I like Alec Burks. I think he's going to help them with offense, but they've got to get that defense down, because that's the staple here. That defense is going to win them at least two playoff games. And the question is it going to do? Is it going to win them a playoff game in round one and round two, or just round one? Because I think this team still has the chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, and then most importantly, above anything else, speaking with Kevin DeGondi of ESPN, your impressions of Aaron McKee, first year coaching our Temple Owls. How you liking Coach McKee so far?
Mark, I love him. I went to school with Aaron. He takes me back to the days of Coach Chaney. And you know what Aaron's going to do, and Fran did a fantastic job, that transition from Coach Chaney. That's not an easy thing when sure. you're replacing a legend, especially, you know, where Chaney's fingerprints are all over Temple, or were when Fran took over. Aaron's gonna make sure that the kids that come to Temple are gonna be tough kids. And when I say tough kids, mentally tough kids, where when I grew up and I was following Temple hoops and I thought, you know, in the 90s, you didn't want to go face Temple. When the Dukes of the world did not want to come to Philadelphia to face Temple. And I think Villanova has that identity. I think Aaron's going to bring that back, where you are coming to Philadelphia. You don't want to face Temple. Whether Temple's going to win or not, it's going to be 40 minutes of, not stealing us from Nolan Richardson, but 40 minutes of hell. And I think Aaron's going to find those kids that are going to make sure over time, hey, you want to be here, you want to stay here, you want to win here. We're going to make sure that whoever comes here is going to have a hard time getting a W in North Philly. That's what I can't wait to see in the next couple of years when he gets the guys that he wants when it comes to recruiting.
Kevin, I couldn't be more jealous of you, because like, you went to school with Aaron McKee. I went to school with Marty Collins. Like, you clearly won that battle.
Marty was the man, too.
sure.
You guys got to go. I get it. You're up against the break.
No. Go ahead. If you got something, I'm not going to cut Kevin DeGondi off.
No, I was lucky. I'll say this real quick. I was lucky, you know, in the mid-90s where, you know, I saw Eddie Jones, Aaron McKee, and then, you know, towards the back end of my time there, it was Karcher, you know, Lynn Greer, Pepe Sanchez. And when you're around the program and you see some of the guys that come back, and you know, I'm a late 80s guy, where my brother got me involved with Temple basketball, with Macon, Vreeswijk, Howie Evans, Tim Perry, Ramon Rivas, and those guys. That stuff runs deep with me. My passion for Temple hoops. I love everything about that program. Mm-hmm. And to have Aaron around the program, to see Mark, to see Jason Ivey, it's a great thing. And I can't wait to see what type of guys that they're going to bring in the next few years, because it takes me back to my days with John and God bless Coach Chaney.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin, you know, on a more serious note, I guess, a more personal note, the story came out almost a month and a half ago now about you signing an extension with ESPN. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, couldn't happen to a better guy or a more talented guy. You do a phenomenal job of representing our city, and kind of, like I said, you keep it almost like a double agent. You keep your Philadelphia preference and passion, and you carry it well on the national stage, my friend. So again, congrats on that deal.
Mark, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you, guys. And listen, understand that in every newsroom conversation, my head sticks up, and I start talking about Philly, and everybody knows. So represent us up here, no matter what. Whether it's good or bad, I will make sure I'll be real with it.
You're the man. Kevin DeGondi, ESPN, Temple Zone, Philadelphia Zone. Kevin DeGondi. Thanks, Kevin.
Fellas, be good.
All right. You as well. You couldn't be a better guy.
Good man.
Good man.
One of his favorite pastimes, Nerf guns with the kids.
Oh, is that right?
I've interviewed some years ago, and it was all about the Nerf guns. He's like, I'm about to get a Nerf gun in the face. Can we wrap this up soon? I was like, you got it, buddy. Because yeah. He did the interview in his kid's play area. I guess that turned out to be, it was like lunchtime or whatever, and that was the quietest area in his house.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, you're the man.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he is a good dude. And really, like, that's an interesting thing, because so many people try to make, I think, the Ben Simmons and the Joel Embiid is into something it's not, into that relationship. And people almost want it to be venomous. And I think Kevin Agandi is one of the guys who's like, yo, everyone slow that roll for a second. Like, these two guys are going to hit a stride on the court, and they're going to do something special. And I feel that same type of thing, because we can't forget, and the people that want to argue and just talk all day about what Ben can't do. And I feel like I give a very real opinion about it. I acknowledge how great he is as a defender, a rebounder, facilitator. But it's a gaping hole, gaping gap in his game that he doesn't shoot. That's remarkable in a negative way. It's amazing.
That run doesn't happen. 44-8 run does not happen with Ben Simmons.
No, defensively absolutely not.
Yeah.
Does not happen with Ben Simmons if he's playing in that game. But
I tweeted him last night, which is something I don't tweet athletes very often.
You tweet Ben Simmons?
I just said, yeah, please never leave us again.
That's adorable.
I really miss you.
Miss your Musk. Miss your laugh.
Miss your jokes.
But
finished it with big hug, little kiss, big hug.
But for the people that want to trade Ben Simmons,
move in together, get an apartment.
For the people that want to trade him,
I just want to see the candy room.
You want to trade a 22-year-old two-time All-Star, 23-year-old two-time All-Star?
No, stop. Kevin's point was great, and it might have a national tinge to it, even though he is a local fan. And that's be patient. I mean, I think if anybody was told when this all happened that in the first 2 years of Ben Simmons, you would average 51.5 wins, you would win a playoff series each of those first 2 years, and then maybe the third year you up that win total to 53, 4, 5-ish, considered one of the favorites for the Eastern Conference Finals, I think people would take that in a heartbeat. And I really do. And the patience thing, look, it's tougher than hell after what everyone went through with the process. And the expectations being as high as they are makes it even tougher. But he is only in his third season of playing NBA basketball. There's plenty of time. You're okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Coming up in a little bit, there was a couple of great things that we saw yesterday. One was the lady playing the violin. And, you know, while the brain surgery was happening to her, one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in my life. Another great thing that we saw yesterday was Joel Embiid in the locker room with Alec Burks telling him, no. Hey, 19 points tonight. Hey, new guy, you're ringing that bell tonight. And he rang the bell. Actually, he rang it three different times when three different people told him to ring the bell and even ring it harder. And then something else, and I'm really happy we can do this because I love talking hockey. The Flyers win last night, and this is why we have the comparison, because most people are impressed more so today with how the Flyers won than how the Sixers won. I think people are like, yeah, you better win when it comes to the Sixers, even without Ben. And I think like other people are looking at the Flyers like, oh, this team's so great. They're so much fun to watch now. When did this happen? This is great. Like, there was something in particular, and it was really 2-for-1. It was maybe even 3-for-1, considering a goal happened on the play. But there are two things that happened after the goal that made you go, this team is exciting and they are fun. Like, you should have known that already. But if you're just starting to, because this is the way I think a lot of Philadelphians have been, a lot of Flyers fans. There's the hardcore Flyers fans that go to games and every single one of them and they don't miss it. They're the most hardcore of hardcore fans. And then there's the others like, okay, let me know when they're in the playoffs and that's my hockey season when I pay attention, right? That's what other people are like. I love hockey. I'll watch the 82 games. So then you go with the type of thing that took place last night for the people that are starting to maybe ramp up their fandom, knowing now that this will be a playoff team. This is something that caught your attention last night that it'll let you know you missed some stuff. If you're a late bloomer in the season as a hockey fan, as a Flyer fan, this is a play last night to let you know you missed some stuff. We'll let you hear what it was coming up in a little bit here on 97.5 The Fan. If you want to jump on, we got a wide open board for you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A breakdown.
Happy Friday. So, we talked about Joel Embiid after the game in the locker room, giving the bell to Alec Burks. We talked about Joel Embiid calling himself the greatest player in the world. Some people, like one guy, our friend Real Prince, is telling us that we're reaching. And it's like, he doesn't come out and say I'm the greatest player in the world. It's like, I don't know if he's speaking as somebody who says he's among the greatest in the world.
Yeah, I didn't. I wrote it down. I belong in being the best player in the world. I think maybe I belong in the conversation of being the best player in the world is maybe what he meant.
I think he is. I mean, he's got to show it consistently.
In the conversation.
Yeah. I don't think he is. I think it's really hard to pass a Giannis, a LeBron, or a Kawhi right now. Yeah. But yeah, you're deserving of being in that conversation when you play like you did last night.
You know who thinks he's in that conversation? You know who thinks he's in that conversation? He thinks Joel Embiid's in that conversation? Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
First
overall pick.
First pick.
Now, when I heard him say it, it seemed like he was saying, showing that I belong amongst the other all-stars, being that I'm one of the greatest players in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like being considered among the greatest players in the world?
Uh-uh. No, I took it as when he said that he was at the All-Star game, he was saying that, showing that he belongs amongst them, being that he's the greatest player in the world.
Okay.
All right.
As your president, that's what it sounds like to me. As the greatest player in the world, and I hereby decree,
because I am awesome,
everyone else is fighting for second place.
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like.
You see that right there, what you're experiencing right now is my win.
Exactly. So, nonetheless, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But that was still not the greatest thing. And the lady with the violin and the brain surgery, that was probably the greatest thing. What's right after that is Kevin Hayes last night. I'm not even talking about the game winner.
Celebration?
The celebration was better. Now, here's the play-by-play as Tim
saw. Konechny really topped it off perfectly.
Yeah, well,
the two of those guys teaming up together. It was adorable.
It's
everything about Konechny is adorable.
If you watched this play last night, it's what lets you know that if you just started watching the Flyers now, you've been missing out. Because this team is fun.
Kevin Hayes is worth every penny of that contract.
Here's the play-by-play of the game winner in overtime. It's called by Tim Saunders.
Hayes on the left wing wall. He's going to drag the puck out at center ice. The Flyers want to regroup with a minute and 16 seconds to play.
This is what I like. I like to be able to go back and then come with speed.
Konechny right wing pass. Hayes in. Looking at the net. Kevin Hayes shoots. He scores! The overtime winner by Kevin Hayes. His second of the year. And the Flyers beat the Blue Jackets in overtime 4-3.
What did we talk about? You got to have speed.
Well, that's not all we have. It was a great goal, and Bob, yes, it was your boy TK, but the goal was the least entertaining thing that happened.
Yeah.
Kevin Hayes goes, championship belt! I didn't know people still did that!
Oh, yeah, the people's champ!
Throw it back.
A little discount double check!
Yeah.
That's what he did! And then Travis Konechny enters the frame, because the camera's on him, and somebody sent a GIF out of it as well. It's a perfect angle. And Travis Konechny... Travis Konechny enters the frame.
That's what she said.
Turns away. How is that a what? That's what. Anyway.
That's the perfect angle?
Okay.
Great entry point right there. That's good.
Travis Konechny comes into the shot and he mouths something at the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I broke it down.
You did.
It's bleep you, Savard. Clear as day.
See, I thought he was saying, hey, Columbus, great game. Thanks for the ice time. See you guys later.
No.
Love you. Bye.
No.
That's what I read.
It was
smooches.
Bleep you.
Smooches.
Savard.
It was hey, cutie. Kissy faces.
You guys suck. I love it. He's such a punk. If he was on another, like if he was a penguin,
oh my God,
we would hate that dude.
He would be the guy. He would be like a Darcy Tucker type.
Yeah.
That's who he would be.
But
like
more skilled.
Far
more skilled.
21 goals now in the season after last night, and really there was the contract dispute. I remember even checking out, going back to Prague to start out the season. We're talking about a contract, and it's like, no, this guy's earned it.
I saw somebody else on Twitter earlier in the game. Karwecki. I always get a lot of letters there all jumble up on
okay.
me. The guy on Columbus, he's their leading. He basically makes their offense go.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently was trash-talking him earlier in the game because there was a point like 8 minutes ago in the third period where he checked him after the play where the refs weren't looking and he retaliated and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Apparently he said to him, Ivan Provorov makes more money than you. Which is hilarious.
David Savard, the guy he was going after the game, is 6'3", 230. Konechny's 5'10", 175.
He is adorable.
He is the best.
Just don't send Travis Sanheim to fight for him.
Yeah, that didn't work
out well. That was pathetic last night.
Well,
he's standing up for El Capitan.
Well, here's...
Claude got knocked on his ass, and Sanheim, kudos for going in there. But woof.
So Claude Giroux had a four-game pointless streak, and since then it's, what, five games in a row with points now?
Yeah.
Another goal last night, including the play from his knees that he made in the first game of this home-and-home against the Blue Jackets. But I think that, because some people are trying to figure out, okay, if the Flyers are playing well and they're going to be a playoff team, and they're a playoff team, and Giroux's actually having a good year, and Konechny's having a good year, and you have a goaltender finally, why is it that the Flyers haven't been getting buzz like they've had... You know, in the late 90s, like they had in the 80s, late 90s, and they had obviously with LeClaire and Lindros and Recchi, and you know, they had a little bit in the middle of the 2010 when they went to the Cup, right? And I think the reason for a lot of people is people miss fighting. And when you see more fights like the one with Sanheim last night than you do like in the days of Donald Brashear, which I'm saying are, well, they're long gone.
Right.
I feel like that has lost a lot of people that really like the sport. They liked the sport because they liked fighting. And I know some people look at it and they go, oh, all legitimacy is out of the sport when two guys are fighting. But at the same time, it was part of the game. It was the definition of players policing themselves.
And even more so, there's just not a lot of hitting that much anymore, right?
Yeah, it's much more of a European fast game.
Yeah, Myers got lauded last night because he had a few hits and he played physical. But when you really watched him, it was like, just borderline physical of what the game, you know, what was normal back 10 years ago. You know, it's pucks are in corners. If you have possession, it's back off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make the pass. It's kind of fun. What I love is that the Flyers figured it out, that that's the type of game that's being played now and have surrounded themselves with talent to do so. Because back in the day, it always seemed, like I said before, NHL went big, Flyers were fast. Flyers went fast, NHL got big. Mm-hmm. They could never catch to what the system was it was winning.
Yeah, well,
and now they have, it seems like.
It reminds me of playing a more up-tempo Peter Laviolette style of hockey like they had in the 2010 Cup run. Like when they went to the finals
Start
that
playing
year.
With some jam in here. Let's go.
Yeah, they've integrated the zip, the pop, the jam, all of it again. And I think Alain Vigneault has done a great job also, and this is where you could probably make the argument for having a coach that holds player accountable,
holds his players
accountable. It actually works, is Alain Vigneault. Because he does a great job of separating the two. You see, he had the great quote, Bob. I need more from. I love Jake the player, or I love Jake the person. I need more from Jake the player.
Yeah.
And if like if you're a professional athlete, Trey, you don't want to be BS'd.
No, you don't.
You want to know where you're standing is.
Exactly.
Like that's how you should put something like that, and that's the way you put it earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players have responded extremely well. And he's not afraid to go more up tempo attack style offense, like you saw. Well, yeah, you got to keep your sticks on the ice in the defensive end and all that, but on the offensive end, you can attack. And I think that's something that we haven't seen really. We didn't see it with Berube, and I know what Berube has done since he's left here. Mm-hmm. We certainly didn't see it under Dave Hakstol, but we saw it under Peter Laviolette. And now you're seeing that same type of style again with Alain Vigneault. That's what I'm loving. Trey, he's an honest coach that holds his players accountable, by golly.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
Coach that's going to be a straight shooter.
Trey, I think you'll agree with me. The Flyers are doing that hockey.
Yes, they are doing that hockey.
And they're doing it.
Can we get a chance to sit down with Vigneault and watch some film?
Yeah, I think
we'd love to do that.
I think we could do that.
Go hang out with the Flyers one day and go watch some film?
I think we have to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can understand what the hell is going on sometimes.
Over in Voorhees, New Jersey. It's right in our hometown,
yeah,
Trey.
Man.
They practice right
I
in our hometown.
I would love to sit down with them and say, let's go over something.
All right, we're going to have to take Coach and make that happen.
But no, here's the thing. Are you going to bring your colored pens?
Of course.
You going to bring your legal pad?
That's the only way I travel.
There we go.
I mean, you know.
There's plenty of time left in the season.
That's all.
We're going to work out a time to sit down with you, Alain Vigneault.
Yeah.
And you're going to go over film.
Yeah,
and then maybe you could teach him about, like, blocking and stuff, and maybe it'll help.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's...
I'm sure he'd want to know. He seems like a very curious fella.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's curious like a cat.
Ask me questions, I'll give you some... Explain the game of hockey to me, man, because sometimes I'm like... All right.
610-632-0975 if you want to get in. Coming up, we have our True Value, our Hollis True Value and Garden Center Tool of the Week. We also have our Fanatic Pro Shop. We'll tell you how you can get some great stuff on there. And our Big Sexy Report presented by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Time of the Fanatic is 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget about the Fanatic Pro Shop. 97.5thefanatic.com. Cool Philly sports swag combined with Fanatic radio swag. Lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team theme merchandise at great prices, from hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tank tops, and so much more. Visit the Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5thefanatic.com. Check out the Fanatic Pro Shop. Open right now. Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top, gives us our Big Sexy Report. Trey, who would you give the Big Sexy Report? Who do you like? Who do you think this week? Big Sexy. Who do you think it should go to?
I don't know.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, Bobby thinks he has it.
Bobby, take it.
Let's give it to Matt and Elena.
Yay!
Yeah.
They could potentially win next week, too.
Hey-o!
Oh, Sam.
He's a horny toad anymore.
My God.
Samantha.
We need you off the hook.
That wasn't anything horny.
Wow, you got to get down to Florida or something.
We got to get you off the hub, and then you had all those thirsty cats tweeting you. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that was funny, right?
Funny or kind of scary? How do you look at it?
Yeah,
you tweeted out one photo of us with our heads superimposed on the starting five of the Sixers last year, and like, man, the thirsties came out. God, it was like you rang a dinner bell, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam scrolling the hub.
That's what I do.
Surfing the hub, hanging out, you know, doing normal stuff.
Yeah, she's trying to surf the hub, and she keeps on getting alerts that people are tweeting her.
I don't even know who she is anymore.
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
I don't know.
No, I think Matt and Elena should go to them. I agree with you. That's our Big Sexy Report brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Tool of the Week. And this guy, you talk about back-to-back winners.
I got one. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't need to hug.
Are we all Astros related here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bored.
You done with them?
I'm bored. Okay. It's dumb. The commissioner can't run baseball anymore. Bob, you pointed it out throughout the week. It is something that, how do you punish anyone in baseball right now when it's like, hey, you threw at somebody, you're suspended. Really?
No, I'm not.
They cheated and won a World Series. Back off, Rob.
I don't think I'll let you suspend me today, Rob.
Yeah. But no, my tool of the week is a guy that could be a numerous offender. Skip Bayless is my tool of the week. For the troll job yesterday on trying to create bulletin board material for his dumb Dallas Cowboy team, he is our tool of the week. Here is the back and forth he had with Lane Johnson on their stupid show where he does a stupid job of trolling stupid things out of people. Here is Skip Bayless yesterday.
One shot, one kill, Skip.
Yes, sir. So will you guarantee two Eagles victories next year over the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, hey, don't ask me dumb questions. I mean, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hey, I like that.
That's what I want to say. You better be confident.
We got a hell yeah.
There's no creativity. Whenever you have a guest on, you would like them to say something that's going to grab a headline or not. Mm. And you'll ask them questions, and it's up to them whether or not they'll speak their mind or whether or not their opinion will influence how other people think. You don't, like, if Kevin Agandi was on, I wouldn't go, hey, Kevin Agandi, Stephen A. Smith sucks, right? Like, that's basically what it is. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's something inflammatory. That's not even being creative. Skip Bayless knows Lane Johnson isn't going to back down and be like, no, we'll probably split. Like, what? Troll of the week, tool of the week, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Trey. Is there anyone else?
I think I'm good with that.
Skip Bayless, Hollins True Value and Garden Center. Head to Hollins True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill. If you need it, Hollins has it. Bob, who'd you have?
I was going to go Rob Manfred.
You're with the Astros? Yeah, the Astros.
I was going to go Justin Verlander.
See, Verlander, why? Because
he's all high and mighty. Oh, baseballs are juiced, this and that. You know, calling out other teams for perceived cheating. Meanwhile, the past 3 years, he's known his entire organization cheats. You're the biggest tool in that locker room. He really struck a nerve with me this week.
See, he's the guy that I think of anybody because of how pissed off he was about the baseballs. He's one of the only guys I can justify. For two reasons. One, he's a pitcher. The other is that he's like, well, hell, if baseball's going to juice the baseballs, yeah, guys, keep, you know, you cheat. Go ahead, do your thing.
Yeah.
Get me some more runs.
Nah. Douche.
And
that's a tool.
Kate Upton?
I mean, that's not.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Pretty cool.
So that, give me three reasons then. That's pretty cool. Right. One of the most beautiful women on the planet. They made a baby. And it is pretty cool, as a matter of fact. Sam, what is the final on our Twitter poll, please?
Today we asked, did the Sixers win enough for you last night, for example, like the Flyers? Yes or no? We had just under 1,700 votes. Remained the same. 51% said yes.
And let me just say again that question in itself is a troll job.
Yes.
Because people were. And here's the other thing. Kevin Gandhi, when he was on with us, he hit the nail right on the head. Like, it was coming through the TV loud and clear for the nation to see on TNT last night that Sixers fans were it was good to have you back in Philly, Sixers, good to see you again, right? Mm-hmm. A little week off, right? But man, they were venomous last night. Al Horford touching the basketball, boo. Miss a three, boo. Joel Embiid missed a three, boo. Whatever it was. And again, you ain't fooling me none, box score. Joel Embiid missed a three last night. 1-for-1 from beyond the arc. Nice try. We were watching the game. So that's it right there. And I do have to say this. We have Guns N' Roses tickets, do we not?
We do indeed.
We do have Guns N' Roses tickets. And you know what? We'll leave it up at the end of the show to the fifth caller to our prize line. And we'll let that go in 1 second here. We'll release that in a second. But first, our takeaways of the day. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is talking to Elena and Matt today just made me so excited. And I can't wait to hear the report back Tuesday morning after their date courtside on Monday.
Oh,
I know.
So excited for them, too.
I know. I felt it. I felt the connection between them. Over the airwaves.
Even though it was the most awkward exchange you could have to start any type of acquaintanceship or friendship or lovership.
You could tell Matt was a little awkward, but he'll be fine. He'll warm up.
Maybe he's one of those guys who's better in person.
And it's tough to have that conversation over there.
And he did admit that he's not good at the online game.
Yeah, and he said that he felt awkward that he was even making the call. He got more awkward about that than the blind date. So.
I think we coached him through it rather well, though.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Not for nothing over here. Yeah. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is, in the grand scheme of things, the Barkley and Embiid thing is nothing, but I love it. I love that Joel finds inspiration from Charles. I love that Charles clearly loves the Sixers, but is basically one of us on the national stage airing his frustrations. Keep it up, guys. It's great.
That is, it's quite lovely.
I love it.
Bob Cooney.
I got to give a shout out to a buddy of mine. Joe Merton over at Camden Catholic High School picked up his 500th career victory as a JV basketball coach.
Oh!
36 years of coaching, but many more years of just helping kids and being a great, great leader of a lot of kids that came through that system. And congratulations to Joey. He's as good of a coach, a better man.
Very nice. Very nice. Trey Thomas.
Man, we got to get Sam off the hook, man. Like, what are we going to do here?
She's an addict.
What do you guys expect? No,
we got to get Sam off the hub, man.
Everybody goes,
have a good weekend.
Boyfriend goes to Florida.
Fiance.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah. Come on, Mark. No, I was talking about your boyfriend, not your fiance. Kidding.
Yeah, the other one. Yeah,
we all know your boyfriend. We all know your boyfriend. His name is The Hub. My takeaway of the day is that I am a big, fat, stupid, dumb hypocrite. Because as much as I will sit here and shame the NFL for creating another made-for-TV event with another playoff game, I know I'll be in front of the TV, and at the end of the season, I'll be rooting for the Eagles to make that final game. That's my takeaway. Also, my takeaway, I have to give a shout-out to the guy that's saying I need to up my hat game.
Guess what?
I win, because I did this just to troll people on Twitch. So there, 3 trolls, 1 show. No waiting. Stay tuned for the Anthony. Is Anthony back? Is he feeling better?
He is back.
Hey! Good. Glad Anthony's all right. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And how about this? Jamie, what's our contest line?
215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. 800-585-7575.
Be the fifth caller to that line if you want to win Guns N' Roses tickets coming up to Citizens Bank Park July 8th with special guest Smashing Pumpkins for their North American tour. Go to Ticketmaster.com right now to purchase your tickets. Jamie, one more time, hit with that number.
215-263-0975.
All right, stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Time of the Fanatic is 9:55.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.